Begin the current Daf Masechet Nedarim Daf Samach Zayin. We begin on the bottom line of Daf Samach Vav Mabez, where the Gemara begins the new parak, the 10th parak Masechet Nedarim, parak Nara HaMarasa. Now this is a continuation of the theme of the previous parak, that is, whereas the 9th parak, parak of Eliezer, spoke about what's called Hataras Nedarim, which that is when one goes to a sage, who he retroactively nullifies, as if you never made a neder, because of some type of a Pesach, an opening, that had you known that circumstance at the time that you made the neder, you would not have made the neder. Thus, it's an erroneous neder on some level, and therefore it's not a neder. Our Mishnah continues with a related, that is, that's through a sage, a chacham. There's another way that a person's neder, specifically a woman's neder, could be nullified. That's either through her father or through her husband, which that's a parsha in the Torah in Sefer Bamidbar Perek Lamed, where it talks about this halach of hafaras nedar. Which is, that's not retroactively like a sage, it's rather from here and on, what's called mekan laba, that the husband, when he's married, and the father, when she's not married, that they have the rights to nullify the woman's vow. Now, our Mishnah begins specifically with actually some point in the middle, which is, as the Mishnah begins, Naira HaMairasa, as the parak is called, Naira, who's specifically at an age between 12 and 12 and a half, because under that, she's actually a katana, minor, and above that, she's a begeris, she's an adult. Now, when she's a naira, who's mairasa, who's engaged. So she's somewhat still in her father's domain, because she's still a minor, she's not yet a begeris as an adult. Yet at the same time, she's still partly in her husband's domain, because she's engaged, but not all the way. So therefore, it's actually somewhere in the middle, and it has to be uvia or baila mafir nadira. It's only together with the father and the husband that they could nullify her vow. You need both of them to nullify it. Now, the Ran just points out that this is even, as the Gemara later on will tell us, and on Samach Zayin Mabez, that even if the Nedarim that she made now were when she was still single, but the man that she's engaged to could go ahead and be made for B'Koidman, he could nullify vows that were made even before they were engaged, together with a partnership of the father, as the Gemara will explain, that they can go ahead and do that together. So it's even what was beforehand. Now, the Ran just points out also that although it calls it Naira HaMairasa, it's not to say specifically, as we mentioned just before, what's called in Halacha Naira, which is between 12 and 12 and a half, but rather, it's saying that it's coming to exclude from a Begeris. When she's an adult, well, then the father has no rights over her whatsoever, and he can't be made for her Nedarim, whether she's engaged or not engaged, she's totally out of his domain. So it's specifically talking about a naira, and below that, now so too an oris is also talking about that it has to be that he's engaged to her, that is, it's only together with the partnership of the father that he can go ahead and be made for it, but he can't go ahead and made for it himself. Now, just Aran says that, again, as we said, that it's a naira, not a begeris, but a katana can't make nadarim, but he says, a woman that's 11 years old, where there's halacha, what's called nedareha nivdakim, which is called a mufla samachliish, which a year before they become an adult, which is 12 for a boy and 11 for a girl, that is, then if she knows what she's saying, that her neder is valid, then he says that it would also be, even over there, even the halachically should be called a katana, not a naira, it would still be the same halacha if she's engaged at, let's say, 11 and a half. To a man, then her father and the aris, the one she's engaged to, together only would be able to be made for the neder. Neither one could do it on their own. It would have to be a joint effort. So again, although when she's still not engaged and she's a naira below when she can make a neder, then it's only the father that does it. And when she's married, then it's only the husband that does it. But when she's a naira, meaning she's not an adult, so the father still has rights over her, but she's engaged, so the husband has some rights over her. It's only with the joint effort of both of them, if they're both made for the neder, then her neder will be nullified. But if it's only one, then not. As the Mishnah continues on the top of Samach Zayin Medalf, that is, if hafer av lo hafer baal, if the father nullifies and the husband doesn't nullify, he doesn't say, oh, I don't want you to have such a neder. Or the other way around, hafer baal v'lo hafer av, the husband nullifies, says, no, I'm not letting you have this type of a nether, and the father doesn't, then ena mufer, then her nether is not nullified, because as we said before, they have to both be made for it to be hufer, which the Gemara will actually ask, that this seemingly redundant, the same halach as the resha, it's just saying in the inverse, it's saying they both have to do it, and then why does it have to repeat it, but if one does, then it's not going to work. And the Mishnah concludes, even seemingly more that unnecessary, the Mishnah says, "Ve'in tzarich leman," you don't have to say shekayim echad mehem, that if one of them, either the father or the fiance, the one that she's engaged to, the chasim, if either one goes ahead and says that I want it to be a nether, which is called kiyum, which is actually the opposite of hofer. What the Torah talks about is that he could either nullify her nether, or he could say, well, I'm mekayimit, yes, good, you go ahead and take that type of a nether. So if one of them is mekayimit and says, good, I want you to have such a nether, then the other one cannot be mefer, which the Gemara is going to ask, for sure, what do you need to learn this? If we already said that if they're both not made for it, and is not even mekayimit, just not made for it, it's not going to work. For sure, when the other one does an opposite action of actually being mekayimit, for sure it's not going to work with the hafara of one of them. And those are going to be the two Gemara's questions on, which seemingly there's three halachas, but all you need is really the first halacha. And the other two are outgrowths of that, where, yeah, if you need both to do it, then if only one does, it's not going to work. And for sure, if one's mekayimit, for sure it's not going to work. So the Gemara opens up with this question and asks, Haina Reshum, this that we say then that if Hafer Av or Hafer Abal, seemingly is the same thing as the opening halach of the Mishnah, where Ovio Baila Mafir Nederaha, we said that the father and the husband have to be made for the nether, which sounds like that it's only when they both go ahead and do it together and made for. So why the repetition of Hafer Av or Hafer Abal or Hafer Abal or Hafer Abbas Amofer, obviously? So the Gemara says, no, Ma'av de Tema, I would have thought to say when the Mishnah opens up, Nair Hamarasa Oviyo Ubailo Mafir Nidereha. That means Oyavia Oybaila Katani. It means either one, that either one can do it because she's under the domain of either one of them. Kamash Malan, that's the Chiddush where the Mishnah has to continue to tell you that no, don't think it means either one, it means both, and that's why we have to repeat and tell you that if one does and the other one doesn't do it, then it's not going to be a valid hafara, and therefore it will be a valid nether. Now the Ram points out an obvious question is that then why didn't the Mishnah just say a more clear terminology and say Naira Hamarasa, that it's Ad Sheyifrush Neim, until both the father and the husband make Hafar, it's not going to be valid Hafar. You're saying that the language was ambiguous, and we could have said either or. That's why we repeat and say a new text in the Mishnah. Just say a clearer terminology, that until they both do Hafar, it's not Hafar. So Nataran says no, because had it said it that way, we would have thought to say, in other words, that, yes, the hafara, let's say, of the husband, of the chassan, that wouldn't be enough until the father also does hafara. But, we would have thought to say, and that's what it's saying, achi yifrish them, until they both do it, meaning the husband alone is not enough, you need to have him with the father, but we would have said that maybe the father alone would be enough, or maybe the other way around. As we're going to see later on, the Gemara is going to discuss this concept about who we think really is the primary one. So whichever one the Gemara will assume is the primary one, we would have interpreted such a way that, saying that when it says, Ad Sheyifrush Neihem, it still wouldn't have told us clearly this halacha, because we would have thought, yes, you need both, because if you only have that one, which is the lesser one, whether that's the father or that's the chassan, either one, as we're going to see in the Gemara will have those two different options, so then you need both. But if you have only the other one, which is a stronger one, he himself could have been made for it. That's why the Tana has to repeat and say that no, neither one is enough to do it on himself. If Hafer Av and the Baal wasn't Mefer, or the Baal was Mefer and the Av wasn't Mefer, in the Mufer, that's why it's always necessary to repeat it, because even if we would have said a clearer terminology, that you need both, we would have thought both is only contrast to the weaker one, but that the stronger one could have done it on his own. That's why saying that no, neither one could do it on his own. Now, then the Mishnah said, which seemingly is even more unnecessary, and that's going to be the Gemara's question. The Mishnah said, "V'ein tzarich leimer shekayim echanan." We don't have to tell you that if one of the two partners, either the father or the husband, was saying, "Yes, I want it to be a nether," he's mekayimid, a positive action, not just negation. Oh, then for sure the other ones hafar alone won't be enough to nullify, to go ahead and dissolve this nether. Now, not the Gemara asks, "Lomelei leMishnah." Why does the Mishnah have to tell us this? Hashda yesh leimer, if we already said in the Mishnah, Hafer zebelei zebelei klum, if the other one didn't even do an action, just he didn't also do a hafara, that then the other party's hafara alone is not enough. So kaim echem hen lamali, then why do I need the end of the Mishnah to tell us if one of them is mekayimet, tzrich lemisna, was that necessary to say as a case? Now the Ran points out actually an obvious question, and that is because although we find throughout Mishnayos and Shas that it is normative for the Tana to say what's called zu ve'ein tzarich leimer zu katani, meaning that I'll tell you this halacha, and for sure I don't have to tell you that other halacha. So why is that so difficult on our Mishnah? Why couldn't it just say Zuva in Tzarch Le Mezukatani? You're right, we don't have to say that. So not to run the answers, he says, no, that's only by cases which are not exactly the same type of a case. Now, and that is what the Gemara always says in regards to the Mishnah, that although the second case could have been learnt out as a kavuchemer from the first case, but still we say it, and that's what's called zuva eden sarach lema zugatani. But here, it's the same case. In other words, when one does hafar and the other one does kiyim, so that's exactly, essentially, the same case as one being made from the other one not, and just more than that, but it's the same type of a case. Maybe the Gemara doesn't hold that that would be in the rubric of zuva eden sarach lema zugatani. That would only be when you're saying a different type of halacha, which, yes, that we can know that from a kavuchemer from the first one, but still we do that. But here it's the same halacha, just taking it to the next level, that we already knew what's the purpose of saying that in the Mishnah. So that the Gemara says, you're right, but ki yitzrichle, actually the case is a specific type of a case which is teaching us somewhat of a chiddush. When did we need this halacha of saying that if one is mefer and one is mekayim? It's kagain, for example, as we said in the Mishnah, the hafer echad, men mekayim echad, one of them, either the father or the husband, was made for the neder. He said, no, I'm not letting this be a neder. And the other one was mekayim it. Now, but there's an additional part to this case. You're right, that would be unnecessary. But v'chazer ha-mekayim v'nishal al ha-kamasa. What happened was, is that that other party that was mekayim the neder, he went to a chacham, and he was shoyel, as the Gemara actually later on, Samach Tesam et al. Will teach us that you could be shoyel on a hekim, meaning just like you could be shoyel on a neder, the one who's making the neder, which essentially is like fortifying the nether, and just like a nether you could be shayel, so too you could be shayel on your hakama of the nether. Let's say you're a husband or a father and you're saying, yes, I want there to be a nether, you can go to a sage, and he could revoke your hakama. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying, that's the case of our Mishnah, where the one did hafar, the other one did hakama, but then he went to the sage and he undid his hakama. Oh, ma de tema, then you would have thought to say, my de'oki ha'akre, what he did, he uprooted, and therefore, now you have the hafara of the one who was mekayim it, itself should be enough, because the other one already did hafara. In other words, he's changed his mind. He said, I want it to be in neder. I know you want to be mefer. I know better. I want to be mekayim it. Then he realizes that either his father or whoever it is, the other party knows, he realized that's true, he shouldn't have such a neder. So he goes to the chacham and says, I know it's mekayim the neder, please let me off, and he shoyel on the hakama. So now he undoes the hakama, and now he's mefer together with the other party. So you would have thought to say, fine, that's a bona fide hafara, and it would be a valid hafara. Kamash malan, now we're actually telling you a chiddush in the Sefer of the Mishnah, to mefir in shneim bevas achas. The hafara has to be contiguous. It has to be connected with the other one's hafara. In other words, that you can't have something else interrupting between one hafara of one party, as we're saying, it's the father and the chasen have to do the hafara on the kala, that there can't be anything interrupting from the other hafara that is gets in the way of hafara, which what would be a classic getting in the way of hafara is hakama, which is exactly diametrically opposed to it. And the reason being is because since at that moment he wasn't someone that could be mefer because he was mekim, so therefore it comes out, and that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, is that even the first hafara of the other party who had already been mefrit, is nullified. Now, therefore, now when the other party who did the hakama has regrets and doesn't want this to be a neder, and he's shoyel on the hakama, and then he does hafara, the only way it's going to be hafara is now if the first one who was mefer already from before does the hafara over again so that they could be together and that there wasn't something that was blocking hafara, which was his hakama originally, in the way of the other person's hafara. Now, but that is part of the chiddush, that is actually enough. In other words, and you don't say what would be called in hafara ach hafara. You wouldn't say that. Wait a second. The first one who is mefer, now his hafara is not good because the other one who is making blocked his hafara. So although he undid his hakama, now he himself is doing hafara, but his hafara can't join with his, so yeah, he would have to do it over again. So you would maybe think to say that now he can't do it over again. That's what the Ran brings from the Ramban, that's part of the chiddush, that although it's batal, it doesn't mean that he can't be mefer over again, and he could be mefer over again. Although he does bring from the Rambam, that it seems from the Rambam, that no, that actually once that the other party did hakama, which separated from the hafara of the one to the hafara of the other one, actually you can't go ahead and be mefer anymore because you wouldn't be able to do over the hafara, and the original hafara that he did can't connect with his hafara because it was interrupted and interposed with his hakama before he was shayil on that neder. But that's the chiddush. Now, just one more thing is the Ram points out is that although it says in the Gemara, because they have to be made for bevas achas, So, which literally means say at the same moment. So the Ran says it's not necessarily the case, because even if, let's say, the father was mefer in the morning and the chasam was mefer in the evening, it's going to be enough as long as it was on the same day and that there was nothing interposing that gets in the way of afara. That's enough to be considered bevas achas. Just bevas achas means to say you can't have something else getting in the way, which was this other person's hakama. And the chiddush is that when the Mishnah says ain't tzarich lami, you don't have to say shikayim echad mehen, that even then it's not going to work, where even though he ultimately ends up taking care of his hakama and then doing hafara, but that doesn't join together with the first person's hafara, again, unless, at least the way that he brings from the Rabban, that he does hafara over again. But one thing the Ran asked, that if that's how we're interpreting the Gemara's answer for the seifa of the Mishnah to teach us this chiddush in halacha, so why does the Gemara ask that seemingly, I mean, in other words, why does the Mishnah say the words Ve'ein tzarech lo'imam, we don't have to say this case of the Seifa, which sounds like that really you know it from the Reisha, to the contrary. Now the way the Gemara is explaining it, then you do need it. Like the Ramban's case where he describes it, that first of all we have a chiddush of hafara acha hafara, and moreover is that according to everybody what we're saying is that there's a chiddush here in halacha that although one did hafara already, and the other one after he shalom his hakam is also doing hafara, and we're saying they can't combine together. That's a chiddush that we didn't see from the Reisha. So why is the Mishnah say, V'ein tzarech lami, you don't have to say this? Of course you have to say this. We would never have known this chiddush. We would have thought, one person did hafara, the other one did hakama. Okay, fine, obviously it's not going to work. That's for sure ain't tzarech lami. Which the Gemara asked, why do you need to say that ain't tzarech lami? So the Gemara says, no, it's not just that. Of course he didn't just end with hakama, because that would be pretty obvious. Because even not doing hakama, just not being mefer, is not going to work. It means he was shoyl on hakama, and then he ended up doing hafara himself. So you have two hafaras. We would have thought that combines. That's a chiddush in the Sefer of the Mishnah that, no, they're not going to combine because there was something in the way. But if that's what the chiddush of the Mishnah is saying, then why does the Mishnah say, Ain't Tzarech Lema? Of course you have to say that. We would never have known that from the Reish of the Mishnah. So in that, the Ran answers that the Tana said it this way, and that is because since he already said in the Mishnah that one of the party's hafaras without the other ones wouldn't work at all, so when the Mishnah says that ein tzarech loimar, it means to say that you don't have to say that when one of them is mekayimet, that the first person's hafara is nothing. Now, that's pretty obvious. But moreover is that the Tana now relies on the inference of what he's trying to say, that obviously now that they would not be able to combine. So although that's a chiddush, but that we would have known already, and that's why he says ein tzarech loimar, because if they were fit to combine, then why would the Tana say that this case of Ein Tzarech Lomar, because that essentially is the ratio, which was like the Gemara's question. Of course. No, in other words, obviously the concept is that it's going to be bottle. And if it's going to be bottle, in other words, like the ratio said that one person's hafara is not going to work on its own. Fine, that we know. And of course, if the other one's making, for sure it's not going to work. So what are you going to say? But he's going to undo his hakama. Fine, he's going to undo his hakama. So what are you left with? You're left with hafara. So if you're left with hafara, so of course you have one party's hafara and you have the other party's hafara. So what would be the chiddush in the case of the sefer? Must be the case of the chiddush or the case of the sefer is actually that it's going to be batal. And that's what the Mishnah said. But the Ran's interpreting when it says ve'ein tzarech loimar is the ein tzarech loimar that regarding this chiddush of that they're not going to combine, because if they would, then I wouldn't need to say that, because that I already would know from the ratio that they combine. In the Chanami, it's on that chiddush of Ein Tzarech Lomar. I don't have to say this chiddush of that they're not going to combine, because if they did combine, well, then that would be something that I already would have known from the ratio. So that's what the Tana is coming to say, that this chiddush I don't have to tell you, because obviously if I'm coming to tell it to you, I'm coming to tell you that they don't combine. Because if I'm just coming to tell you that one individually is not going to work without the other one, that I already know. And from the fact that if both are going to be there, that it's going to work, well, that I would have known from the Reisha. So it must be, I'm telling you, even more of a chiddush, that when one of them is Mekayim, it's not going to work. And what it means to say, it's even when he's shoyling it, it's not going to work afterwards because they're not going to combine. And that's what I'm adding on to tell you, because or else I wouldn't be telling you anything. That's how the Ran explains the Mishnah. Now, but the Ran brings a question from the Rashba, understanding the principle underlying the chiddush of the sefer, the way the Gemara is describing it. And he asks that as a question, why do we say this halacha? The Gemara said that, okay, so when one did hafara, and there was something in the way, which was the other one's kiyum, even if he's shoyel in it, and then he ends up doing afar, they can't combine. Now, on that, the Rashi asks, why? Why would it be that they can't combine? But once he's shoyel on his hakama, and he gets to the logic of being shoyel on hakama, that is, when as we're going to see later on the Gemara, if you could be shoyel on your hakama, which means to go, you go to a chacham. When you go to a chacham, what he does is called hatara. What he does is that he makes it like you never made the neder in the first place. And therefore, when he's doing that to the husband or the father's hakama, it's like you never will make him in the first place. And he proves this logic, like the Gemara says, Perkeish Mekadesh Davnun Medalev. Someone's Mekadesh, a woman, with the intention that, on the condition that she doesn't have Nadar. Turns out she has Nadar, so she's not Mekadesh, because that was the condition. But if she goes during their engagement to a sage and he's Matur her Nadar, so then she is Mekadesh. Why? At the time that he got engaged to her, she had a Nadar. Because we consider it as if she didn't have Nadar at all at the time of Kedushin. Because it retroactively makes it like she didn't have a nether. So therefore the Rashba asks, so here also, after that the other party that was making the nether is shoyel on it, so we should see it as if he was never making him in the first place. If he was never making him in the first place, so why can't his now hafara connect with the other person's hafara? It's like nothing was ever there in the way. That's the Rashba's question. So the Ran says he doesn't think that's a question. And he says as follows, he says, because yes, by the halacha of Kedushin, since that's a full-fledged act, there's nothing lacking in the act of the Kedushin. Now, but you're right, as long as she wasn't Matar HaNedar, it's not going to take effect because it was contingent on her not having Nedarim. But when she is Matar HaNedar, then we say retroactively, the Kedushin is going to take effect because it's like there wasn't any Nedarim. But he says, when you have one of the two parties that did Hafara, it's very weak. And that's because each one individually can't do anything without the combination of the other party. And actually, even with the other party, when it combines, it doesn't help as long as they're not fit to combine together, which that will be a discussion later on of Samaches and Mabez in the Brisa, where if, let's say, one of the parties is Mefer and then he dies, then even if the other one will be Mefer after the death of the other one, that first one's Hafar won't work. Because even though they're both being Mefer, they have to be able to actually to connect. And that won't work if the other one had died already. Now, therefore, since we're talking about that only one of them was Mefer, so even if we're going to, you're right, based on being Shoyl on the Chacham, who's Oikrit Lamafreya, it's like he wasn't even making it, it's still very weak. And that is, whatever the other one is making, since at that moment, you're right, retroactively we see like he wasn't making, but at that moment, he wasn't fit to combine with the other one's Hafara, so therefore we say that that Hafara is like it's totally bottle. And the reason is because since at that moment, it wasn't fit for him to combine with him. Hence, his hafara was like was negligible because it has to be able to combine with the other one. And therefore, even if retroactively we see that it's like he didn't have a comma, but since at that moment he couldn't combine, so therefore, even at the later point in time when he could combine, it's already too late. And that's why we're saying in our Gemara that he would have to go ahead and combine together. That's how the Ran answered the Rashba's question, where even though, yes, hakama is like it was never there, but it was never there, but what was made wasn't valid enough because at that moment, he couldn't have combined them together, even though retroactively it's like it wasn't there, but at that moment he couldn't combine, so even later on, they can combine, and that's why it's different than the case of Kiddushin, and that's why that's the halacha of a Mishnah, the Chiddush, that the Tana says, I didn't even have to tell you that I'm saying this Chiddush, because or else you would have known that they would combine, is that they don't combine. Even when one is Mefer and the other one is Mekim, and he's Shoyel on the Sakama, and he does a Farah, they can't combine, and rather like the way the Ran brings from the Rabban, the one who had first made Hafara would have to go ahead and be Mefer over again to now combine with the other one who is Shoyel on the Zakama, who is Mefer, and thus be Mefer the Nedra of the Nair HaMarasa. Now the Mishnah said, as we mentioned, that the Nair HaMarasa Oviyo Baila Mefir Nedra, that regarding a Naira, meaning she's not a Begeris, who's engaged, then her father and the husband together have to be made for the nether. So the Gemara says, no, where do we know this from? If you look at the Pesukim in the Torah, all we know is that when she's by her father's domain, the father's made for the nether. When she's married, her husband does it. How do we know about this unique halacha somewhere in the middle that when she's engaged as a naira, that where she's in both of their domains at the same time, that both of them have to be made for it to be mufar? So Amar Rabba, Amar Kra Rabba says, because it says in Pasuk about Midbar, says, and this actually like in the middle between the psukim of the father and the psukim of the husband. So it says, Vim hoyo yisiyel ish unedarel lao, that if she's going to go and B, for a man, I mean, she doesn't get move on to a relationship with a husband, and she has nedarim. So on that, Rabbi says, Mikan la nair marasa, from here you see regarding a naira that's engaged, she'aviyu bayil mafir nedira, that her husband and her father are made for the neder. Now the Rambam explains, where do you see from this pasuk what Rabbi is trying to teach the halacha from? So he says that the reason is as follows. When a married woman, when she's married to a husband, there's another pasuk, and that is, as always, there's two steps in the marriage. There's Erisin and there's Nisuin. That is, the Erisin is the Kedushin, that's the giving of the ring. That was done in Talmudic times 12 months before the actual chuppah of the marriage. And so Nisuin, which is the later stage that consummates the relationship, when she could already be intimate with her husband, that is another pasuk, where that says, in Beis Ish Nadara, that's a later pasuk, again, old in that same parasha in Perek Lamed and Sefer B'Midbar, that says, in Beis Ish Nadara, if she makes a neder in her husband's house, where it already tells us that the husband is made for the nether. Now, so obviously this pasuk, where it's saying it earlier, must be talking about anarusa, when she's just engaged to him. Because why would you need two psukim to tell you regarding when she's married, which is the stage of nesuin, that the husband could be made for the nether. Now, so therefore, since we're interpreting the pasuk by anarusa, so obviously we have to say that when it says in the beginning of this pasuk that we just quoted, ve'im hayoy, that if there's a vav is always called the vav hachibur. It's a connectivity. It's and, which means, say, we're continuing what we had been saying before. And what does it say before? The psukim before are talking about the parasha when she's her father being made for her neder. When she's in her father's home, single, it says Vashem yislach lo, Shem will forgive her. Ki heini avia isa, because her father has revoked her neder. And after that, it says, meaning after this parasha, it says ve'im b'yayim shemaya isha yoni isa, that if the day when her husband hears it, that he can be made for the nether. So what do we see? This parasha talks about the husband being made for the nether. But the previous parasha that's connected right before, and the psukim beforehand, says that a father is made for. So the vav is connecting it to say that yes, because it's both the father and the husband who are made for the nether when she's an arusa, when she's engaged. Now, that's how we interpret this parasha of when she's a nera hamayrasa, when she's engaged, is because the vav that's connecting it to the father is very logical, because since she's only engaged, she has not yet left her father's domain, so it makes sense that the oris himself is not made for the nether, because she's still in her father's domain. So that's what the vav connects it to the parasha before, which talks about her father, where although this parasha, which we're defining it as by arusa, not the later psukim, which talk about when she's a nusu, when she's totally married, says that here by arusa, it says that the oris does it, but the vav connects it, and logically, as it would be, the father, who's still, she's still in his domain because she's only engaged, not married, that it's both of them together that are made for her nether. Now, and the Ran says it's obvious that you have to say this, because if not, then what is this vav that's moisav al inirishin that connects it to the parasha of the father? If you would say that the oris himself does it, then why would you need a pasuk by nesua? If when she's just engaged, the chasn himself could be made for the neder. So by nesuin, when she's totally married, would you have to say that the husband himself is made for the neder? Well, you think because when she gets married, he loses any authority over her? And therefore, that's why Rabbi said, you see from this pasuk over here, that the vav goes and connects it to the father, and the aris himself doesn't do it. And therefore, it's the two of them together, by an arusa, that does it. Whereas the father, when she's not engaged, does it himself. And when she's totally married, nesuin, then the husband does it. Now, however, now the Gemara will continue asking questions till the end of Amud Beis, which is really just explaining what we said now. And that's all included in Rabbah's statement. It's just that the Gemara goes through it in the Shaka B'Tari type of way to explain how we know for sure that this is the interpretation. As the Gemara asks, Eima haikra b'nesuiksa. Maybe, say that this pasuk is talking about when she's nesuin, when she's totally married. And it's coming to tell us, actually, that the husband himself, like by nesuin, he does the hafar himself. Now, although we said that there's a vav that connects it to the topic before, and that the Ran says that, no, actually, we only say that the vav, it connects it to the parasha beforehand, only when it's obvious from the psukim that you have to say that. Now, if you're saying that it's tomar narusa, that's what we just explained before, that you have to say that it's going back and connecting it to the father, that the oris could only do it together with the father. Because if the Aris himself could do it, the Chasn himself could do it, then why would we need another parasha later on when she's married to him, that he could do it? Of course, if in the earlier stage, which is not all the way in his domain. He could do it himself for sure by Nisuin. So that's why we interpret the Vav that's Moisim al Inurishin to say that it's because the two of them together. But as the Gemara is proposing now, that if we'll say it's talking about Nisuin, that she's married, then there's no reason for us to interpret the Vav, Moisim al Inurishin, because the Pasuk could be interpreted without that. So then we actually don't say the concept of Vav Moisim al Inurishin, because actually to the contrary. It makes sense that if she's married, that it's only the husband himself that can be made for the neder. And the reason being is because once she gets married, then she's actually totally not in the father's domain anymore. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, let's say this pasuk of Vimhoyusi Le'ish is actually talking about when she's married, and that the husband himself is made for the neder. And consequently, what the Gemara's question is that actually when she's engaged, that only the father is made for the neder. And the reason being is because, as we've been assuming up until now, when she's only engaged, she hasn't yet left her father's rishus. So if she's still in her father's rishus, he should have sole rights of being made for the neder. That's the Gemara's question. Now, that the Gemara answers that you can't say that this pasuk is talking about by nesua, because imishum nesua, if this pasuk of vim hayisi leish from the Rela was talking about a fully married woman, but karachri neksiv, but there's another pasuk a few psukim later on, which goes into the next parasha, which already tells us this halacha of nisua, where it says v'im beis isha nedara, that if when she's in her husband's house, she goes ahead and takes a neder. And therefore the Gemara's question is that why would I need two psukim to say the same halacha, which essentially was the basis and the foundation of what we said before in Rabbah's statement. Again, it's just like we said before, that the Gemara is going through it piece by piece to delineate all the points to prove this, that as we had explained the pasuk, they're talking about specifically in Naira HaMayrasa, that it's both the father and the husband and the chassan that are made for the neder together. But you can't say it's talking about nesua, because they already have a different part pasuk that talks about nesua later on. On that, the Gemara continues asking and says, what do you mean? Emet havai b'nesua. Maybe say that both pasukim are talking about when she's married. But, again, the inference is, when she's just engaged, then actually you don't need the husband at all. As the Gemara is assuming up until now, then if she's still in her father's domain, then only the father is needed to be made for her neder. Now, and the Gemara continues. Now, v'chitam, and if you're going to say, as we've been assuming up until now, trei kroi b'nesua lamali, why would I need to pasukim for nesua? And that the Gemara says, that's not a difficulty. It's lemeimer, it's to say, she'in habal, made for b'kayimin. It's to tell you that the husband cannot be made for regarding the darm that she had before she even got married. In other words, that you're right. Vem hoyisi le'ish is talking about nesua, not arusa. That's why the husband's made for the neder. But if she's just engaged, then only the father's made for the neder. Now, then why do we need another pasuk later on that says, vem beis isha nadara, is to tell you, that's only if nadar, if she took the neder in beis isha, in her husband's house. But if she had made the neder before she got married, that would come to tell you that the husband cannot be made for a neder that she had before she got married. And therefore, maybe both psukim are talking about a nesua. That the Gemara answers, but v'lav memela shamen mina, wouldn't that be understood? In other words, then you wouldn't need the pasuk of im ha'yisi le'ish, because from the pasuk of im in beis isha, that pasuk itself would tell you both halachas. A, it would tell you that the husband can be made for a neder by himself. And moreover, it would also tell you that it's only if she took the nadara, if she made the neder, in beis isha. And therefore, you wouldn't need the first pasuk. So what would the first pasuk be talking about? Obviously, like we're saying, not by nesua, but rather it's talking about by an arusa. And as we said, then if it's talking about by an arusa, logic would dictate that the aris himself can't do it. That's why we understand the vav achibur, the vav from the parasha before, from the father, that he could do it, that it's the two of them together that are made for the neder. Iba yisema, or the Gemara says, what you could say is that to answer the question that you asked, that maybe this pasuk is talking about nesua and not an arusa, so that the Gemara says another answer, that you can't say that this pasuk is talking about anything but an arusa, because the havaya, the term of vim hoyosia, which means and being, Kedusha Nashma, it says that if she's going to be to a man, that connotes engagement. And therefore, obviously, that you can't say by an arusa, that as you wanted to, by saying that the pasuk is told by nesua, and only then could the husband do it, but when she's engaged and the father himself does it, you can't say that only the father himself is made for the neder, which we would know that it's the father because of the vav that would tell us from the parasha before that's the father that does it. And because since the pasuk says im hoyisiyah, obviously that's a reference to kedushin, and therefore that since that must be talking about an arusa, so obviously we see that the nair marasa, which the pasuk there says that it's the husband that does it, and it's not enough for the father himself to do it, because it must be talking about an arusa. And it's arusa, the pasuk says that the husband does it, but together we said it can't be just himself, so it connects together with the parasha before with the father. But again, we thought maybe say it's nesua. So the first teretz in the Gemara says that no, because you have another pasuk for nesua. And this teretz is saying that forget about that. You can't say so about nesua because it says v'mahayusia, which connotes kedushin, which is erusin and not nesuin. No, but the Ran has a question. He says, but that you're right, although havaya connotes kedushin, but nesuin is also included in the term of v'mahayusia, like he proves in the Gemara Masech Tzivamas, Dav Samach. And if so, then we should say that both by kedushin and nisuin, which because this pasuk v'mahayisiyah is talking about havaya, which havaya is not just kedushin, it means nisuin too, that we should say that the father and the husband are made for the neder even when she gets married. Because v'mahayisiyah, as we said, since it's talking about by an arusa, who the vav connects it to the father, that not only should it be both them being made for when she's just engaged, but even when she's married. So that the Ran says that no, because that's obvious to us. First of all, when she gets married, she's not in her father's domain anymore. So obviously the father can't do it. And moreover, he says, because of the other pasuk that tells us. The other pasuk says, v'im beis ish nadara, if she has a neder, when she's married already, where the pasuk there says that only the husband does it. So that we know clearly that it's when she's married, it's only the husband. And therefore, yes, although havai could mean nisuin too, but it also means kedushin. And since it means kedushin, it must be only kedushin, not nisuin, because nisuin we know it's only the husband. So therefore here, when it's talking about erusin, and we're saying the vav connects it to the parasha over here by Erison, it's the father and the chasen that together are made for her neder. But the Gemara continues asking, Eima av l'chudei mefer. Let's say that actually it's only the father that could be made for the neder. Now the Ran explains what the Gemara's question is as we explained logically before, when a girl is engaged and she's not yet a begeris, so she hasn't yet left her father's domain. So logic would dictate that the father is the one that's mefer and not the aris. Now, and this parsha that we're saying is talking about a naira hamarasa, that's when she's engaged. We said that it has the parsha of the father, and then there's a vav that connects that parsha with the parsha of the naira hamarasa, vim hoyoisiya. What that's coming to tell us is that now when she's engaged, the aris needs the father. What that means is that this that it talks about the parasha of the Aris, and that it says that the Aris could be made for the neder, it doesn't mean he could be made for the neder. It's only that he could be making the neder. Just like the Gemara is going to attempt the other way around and say that the primary one is the Aris soon, and say that the father really can't do anything. It's just that he could be making. What that means to say is that really the only one that could be made for is the father. And that's the only one that we need. This that the parasha is talking about, the chasn here in some level, is only that he can establish the neder, that the father now can't, he can block hafara. The father really is the only one that we need for hafara, not the chasen, because when she's engaged, she's still in the father's domain, but we keep on mentioning the chasen over here. It's just that he can block the hafara by being maker. Now, although it says there in the pasuk, which is this parasha, which we're explaining, is talking about the nair hamarasa, it says later on, that if the day when her husband, which we're saying the chasen, hears the neder, he could stop bar v'hofer as nidra, and he could be made for the neder. So, but the Gemara is assuming now that he can't be, it's only the father could. So that the Ran explains is not to say that he could be made for the neder. It just means to say that because if he's not made for on the day that he hears it, that means that he has been making the neder, meaning there's a passive way of being making it too. When you hear it and you're not made for it, that's like an act of akama, just in a passive type of a way. Now, it's only in that context that we're saying that the woman is in the domain of the aris of the chasen, and not for anything else. And the reason being is, as we said, because logic dictates, since she hasn't yet left her father's domain, there's no rights for the aris. The only rights we're going to give him is the lowest rights we can give someone over here, which is not the ability to be made for the neder, it's just that it's his ability to block hafara of the father, which is either when he clearly is making it, or when he lacks doing hafara, which we're saying he could be made for, but not because he could be made for, just to say, because when he's not made for, that's a passive hakama. So therefore the Gemara is assuming, asking now, that how do you know? Maybe yes, although it mentions two parties over here, Maybe the primary one, as we say, Vimhoyusi, connecting back to the passage before about the father, the primary is the father of the girl that's engaged. And the Aris, although he's mentioned here in some context, it's only that in the way of blocking Hafar, but not that he's essential for Hafar itself. Now, that the Gemara says, no, you can't say that. Because in Cain, if that would be the case, then when it says in the Pasuk, Va'asra Isra Bevesavia, when it talks about the father, and it says that if she's going to make an Isra on herself, meaning a neder in our father's household, so the Gersa is, Haini Avia Isra, the Pasuk says that the father can hold her back, he can be made for her neder, Lama Li. Why does the Pasuk have to go through the effort to say in the previous parsha that when she's single, the father could be made for a nether? But this should be say later on when it talks about when she's engaged, when it says Vimho Yisiyah, where I would say, Hashliyah Shloimar, I would say that, let's look at it the following way. If Bemakim Aris made for Afluchdei, if even when she's engaged, suddenly another man has rights on her. So even when she's engaged, still the father himself, as you're attempting to ask in your question, the father himself can be made for her. So shalai b'makam aris mibayi. So when she's not engaged, do I need a pasuk to tell us that the father can be made for the nether of his daughter? If you're telling me that even when she's engaged, it's the father himself that does it, so why would I need it to say when she's single? So obviously, the father himself cannot do it when she's engaged. And that's why it says when she's single that he could do it himself. And therefore, it's like we said before, that when she is engaged, you need the father and the chasn. But the Gemara continues asking. Okay, let's say the other way around. Ema av li boye aris. Let's say it's the father that needs the aris. But v'aris l'chudei mefer, but the aris himself, he's the primary one. He himself could be mefer. In other words, as the Rana explains, the Gemara's question is that, oh, now that we see that what we had assumed originally, which was that the Nara Hamarasa has not yet left her father's domain and he has all rights, that's not the case. Because obviously when she gets engaged, that the father himself cannot be mefer, as we just proved, because if he could, then why would I need a pasuk to say that when she's single he can be mefer? So therefore the Gemara goes and reverses it and says, wait a second, if that's the case, then to the contrary. Then the understanding of the psukim, as we just proved from the psukim, would tell us that the aris is the primary and the father is secondary. And the reason being is because since the pasuk went out of its way to tell us that a father, before his daughter gets engaged, could be made for the nether of his daughter, obviously that once she gets engaged, then she has left his domain to some level. Now, therefore, since the pasuk tells us explicitly that the chasn could be made for, as the pasuk there talks about, if the husband hears and he's made for or he's not, so actually the simple translation of the pasuk would tell us that he himself could be made for. Now, but then you're going to ask, then why does the Torah involved the father here at all, if it's the chasn that does the hafara, even when she's just engaged? Because we know the father's involved, because we said that the vav comes and connects it to the parasha before, which talks about the father. So what does the father have over here when she's engaged? So that the Gemara says, but that we would give him the minimal amount, and we would say that, you're right, mi boyele di'i hakim hakim. Where he does shine in over here is only if he sustains the nether by making it, then it's going to sustain the nether and it's going to block the hafara of the chasn. And that is because the Gemara now understands that the simple translation of the pasuk sounds like that the aris, if you read the pasukim, it sounds like the aris himself, har chasn himself, is made for the nether. And the only thing was is that you can't say that the father has no role here at all in the arusa and it's only the aris, because if that would be the case, then we said that when it mentions over here the father's hafara, what we would that be playing a role? And that what the Gemara is saying now, you're right, the father plays a role, but not a role that we need him to be made for the nether. Maybe the only one that you need to be the made for the nether is the chasn, as the psukim make it sound like. Now the vav that connects it back to the father is just to say that if he would block the hafara, then it would block and then the nether would be valid. But if he wouldn't block, then you don't need his afar. All you need is the afar of the chasn, who said, as the Gemara is explaining the halacha of our Mishnah, that a nair marasa, you need the father and the chasn. So on that, the Gemara says, you can't say that either. Because in Cain, if that would be the case, so base isha nadara lamai kasev, then what did we need that later parsha? Psukim later, which then suddenly goes on to when she's married to her husband. Why would I need you to tell us that the husband could be made for the nether when she's married to him? Well, kavo chaymer. Umaba makam av. If when there's still room for the father, when she's still in her father's domain, what somewhat, meaning when she's engaged, still you say, aris mefer l'chadei, it's the chasn himself that's mefer the neder. So shalai b'makom av mi baya. So when the father has no rights on her whatsoever, meaning when there's nisuin and she's totally out of her father's domain, do I need you to say a pasuk that the husband himself can make for the nether? Obviously, that's not the case, and therefore it must be from inferential that only when she's nisua, then the husband himself can be made for the nether. But when she's engaged, it's not just him, and that's how we see that it must be a combination of both him and of his father-in-law. Now this, the Ran asks a question, and he says that why couldn't we say that, no, maybe you're right, the Aris himself is the primary, as the Gemara's questioner is holding, and he himself, the Aris, can be made for the nether. Now, so why does it say a separate parasha by Nisua is to come to exclude from the rights, albeit very small, that the father-in-law has when she's engaged. Where although you're right, it's the chas himself being made for it, but the father could go ahead and block the afara. Maybe that's why we have the second parasha of Nisua from in base Ish Nidara, that to say, oh, but when she's married, then he can't even be making it, and he can't even be blocking the afara. So that the Ran says, because that wouldn't need a pasuk. Because that's pretty obvious that when the woman gets married, that the father has no more rights on her. And therefore, we wouldn't need that pasuk to say that if we already know that the husband is made for, we wouldn't need it to say that the father can't. Because obviously, when she gets married, she leaves his domain. And therefore, it's obvious that the previous pasuk of the Aris must be saying that it's the father together with the Aris. Now, moreover, the Ran asks, is that maybe you would say that the reason why it says that pasuk is because if not, then maybe we would say that by the Aris, that if we only had the pasuk by the Aris to saying that he could be made for, which, yes, kavochem and nesua, but then we would say that even if the fathers make him, it wouldn't be a hakama. And that the Ran says you couldn't say that either. And the reason being is because as the logic we've been saying all along, because ultimately she has not yet left her father's domain when she's just engaged. And therefore it makes sense for us to say that, as we had assumed up until now, we thought that the father himself could be made for the nether. Now, why do we say that it's not the father himself that could be made for the nether? Is because we had the question then, why does it say va'asa b'vesa via? Which obviously it's only saying that when she's not engaged that he could do it himself. So if we had to demote him and say that, okay, you're right, although she hasn't left your domain, but it can't just be you. But that's what the Ran's saying. So if that's the case, well, we can't totally remove the father, only what's obvious from the question to say that it's not only him. But regarding the fact that he could be making the nether and block it, that obviously we couldn't be able to exclude him from that. And therefore, that's what the Ran says, that you couldn't, that therefore you're back to the Gemara's answer of that, why would you need the pasuk from the base Ish Nadara, obviously, to tell you that only then the husband himself can make for the neder, but when he's engaged, then it's actually a combination of the father and the chasn. But on that, the Gemara asks, actually, that Ema, maybe you should say that actually no. Like the Gemara's question was saying, that the Aris himself can be made for the neder. Now, but the question that the Gemara had answered, meaning the question on the question was, but then why would you need him based Ish Nadara? Because that's telling you, that's a Kal V'Chaimer. If the Chasn himself could do it, when at least the father has some type of rights over it, for sure he could do it when he's married. And that the Gemara says, wait, maybe say in based Ish Nadara, what that's coming to teach you is Leimer She'en HaBal Meifer B'Kaidman. Maybe that's just coming to what's called Bima Mayit. It's just saying a separate halacha, that if she made the nether in Beis Isha, then he can be made for the nether. But if it was made before, and then he can't be made for the nether. But you're right, it's not coming to teach us this halacha that he can be made for the nether, that we know from a Kal V'Chaimer, from the previous parasha of an Aris, that he himself could do it. And therefore, maybe we could still say that it's talking about an Aris, and he himself could do it. And this is talking about by Nesua, where, of course, we know he could do it himself. It's just saying that he can't do what was from before. I have to get more answers, but I mean, no. Even from what you're attempting to say now, that's what the pasuk is coming to say, which is one of the halachas that we know from that pasuk of im beis ish nadara, that the husband cannot be made for b'kaidmin. But Aris, however, is made for b'kaidmin. He is made for by stuff that were made before, and as the Gemara later on will explain that. Now, how is that possible? Elalav mishum shetvasi de'av must be because of the partnership he has with the father. In other words, that obviously that the Aris himself cannot be made for the nether, which were made beforehand, and hence that we see that when he's being made for nether, he can't do it himself. It must be together with the father, which thus answers the Gemara's questioner who wanted to say that the Aris himself does it. And what's the proof? Because the father and the Aris can be made for Bekaidman. as the Gemara later will tell us in Ayin Alpha Menalf, because it says on Derehaleha that she has an Adarm on her, which are even those which are already on her from before she got engaged. Now that the Gemara's proof is, how is it possible that the Aris could be made for a Neder, which were there before, and not a husband? The husband has more rights, if anything, than his wife. Must be, it's only because of his partnership with the father, who the father could be made for even those which were before, because by the father, not before, she was always his daughter when she had made the Neder. And therefore the Gemara says, even from what you're trying to ask, to say that maybe that Pasuk is talking about Nesua, but not to tell you that the husband himself could do it, that we already know from the Aris, and it's just coming to tell you that he can't make on what was beforehand, but that itself would disprove what you're trying to prove. Because if you're saying that's telling you that the Nesua, the husband can't do it himself, but we know from a different halacha that the Aris could do it from Kaidman, must be, how could he do it by Kaidman, is only because of his partnership with the father, and thus that proves that the parsha by the Arusa is that, yes, the Aris can be made for the Neder, and even by Kaidman, but it's only because he's made for the Nedarim together as a partnership with the father, as the halacha of our Mishnah told us, and as Rabbah proved it from this parsha of Im Hoyasil Ish, that it's a combination of the Aris of the Naira Marasa being made for with Avia Ubaila that's Mafir in the Dira. And that's the three psukim, the three parashas that it talks about. First talks about a father. When she's single, he's made for the Nedarim himself. Then it moves on to the parashah of Im Hoyasil Ish, which the Vav connects to the father, and the Chasn himself can't do that, as we explained, and therefore it's the combination of the two of them, and then it moves on to a Nesua, where then the husband himself is made for his wife's Nedarim.